We're talking with two of the Beatles, Paul McCartney and George Harrison. Gentlemen, can you give any specific reason that you believe has touched off this worldwide hysteria you're currently enjoying? Paul?
No, you know, because none of us know why people like us at all. I can't imagine why anyone would like us. But I think, you know, we've tried to work it out with various people talking, and it seems to be that it's a combination of a lot of things, most of them we don't even know what they are, you know. Very difficult question, but sorry, I'm a bit vague about it.
George?
The main thing is because we were a bit different. At the time when we came out, we were a bit different to everything else that had been around, so you know, that made them like us, because they were ready for a change. But I don't know why they like us so much, or why so many people like us.
Well, there are so many competitors on the market now, if you will, so many people who have copied you or tried to do something different, and yet they're not making it the same way you are.
But that's always the same. I mean, when Elvis Presley first arrived, he had thousands of people impersonating him and trying to do his style, but he's still there, isn't he? And they never did make it. It's always the original first there, first served, I think.
With the worldwide adulation that you fellas have, and obviously the large amounts of money that accrue to it, your future is apparently secured. What do you look forward to personally? What can you possibly have as the next thrill for yourselves? Paul?
Thrill? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think about thrills or anything particularly. The thing I look forward to is just being able to do what I want to do. I don't know yet what it will be, but if at the age of, I don't know, 30... when I'm an old man, something like that, you know, if I feel like doing a certain thing, if I feel like just, I don't know, getting a house in the country, or if I feel like, well, I don't know, just writing songs for the rest of my life, at least I'll be able to do it. And so, in fact, all I look forward to is happiness. Sounds corny, but it's true, you know.
What is happiness, Paul?
Well, anything, well, you know, I mean, you know, you must know what it is, you know, for your personal happiness. I can't explain what mine is, but, you know, you've got certain things that you enjoy doing. Well, being able to do them, that's good enough for me, you know.
George, what is your definition of happiness?
It's about the same, being able to do and enjoy what, you know, we like to do and when we like to do it. And, you know, all the other little things that are all around that, you know, that all add up to it.
This leads me to my next question. In your viewpoint, how important is schooling?
It's important, you know. All of us have had quite good educations. I don't think it's not the end. You know, I think the main thing is just to understand yourself, or to be able to think for yourself. Education probably helps with that, you know. But I mean, actual schooling and actual learning of subjects and sort of languages and maths and things isn't as important as just learning to think for yourself and think about yourself, you know.
Well, the question I'm getting at is, here in the United States, we have a very large dropout problem. People who say, well, they leave school. They say, there's no point in completing my schooling, my high school education. There's no reason for it. I'm going to get myself a haircut and a guitar or something and, you know, be like the Beatles. And that doesn't make sense.
Well, actually, it doesn't make sense, because I was at school till I was 18. You know, I stayed on at school quite a long time. And John stayed on at school, and you know, we went in for all our exams and things, and so anyway, if they're trying to be like us, they might as well stay on at school, you know.
In fact, on all of our records in America, if you look at the label, it says don't drop out.
One last question, fellas. Do you have any advice for teenagers in other cities as to how to avoid getting hurt in the Beatle crush?
Well, don't push yourselves, you know. And if you see anybody pushing, try and suggest to them not to push. It's a hard question, you know, because if you just turn around to someone and say, don't push, they'll probably smack you right in the face and you get your hurt already, you know. Difficult. I should say, just don't push yourself, you know.
George, you have a word of advice?
Just the same, you know. I mean, there's bound to be somebody pushing, but if the people listening don't shove, that's going to be less for a start, isn't it?
But if everybody pushes, you're going to leave pretty quickly. So it'd be smarter for them to maintain their composure.
Well, you know, I mean, we always like wild concerts anyway. But the thing is, people interpret the word wild as everybody going around ripping seats up. That's not what we like. We like everybody to enjoy themselves and not go around ripping seats up and throwing bottles and things. Because, I mean, you know, there's no sense in that anyway. But on the other hand, we don't like people just sort of sitting on their hands, you know. We'd rather have them doing what they want to do, except when it reaches the point of ripping up seats and things, you know.
So at all times, comport themselves, ladies and gentlemen, but have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been talking with Paul McCartney and George Harrison, two of the Beatles.
Thank you.
This is Hillard Rose, CBS News, San Francisco.